Hope you got your Bible. You will need it. And let's turn to the New Testament, the Gospel of John. Fourth book in your New Testament. Go to chapter 8. John chapter 8. Now, I know that you are physically in church this morning. I know that for a fact. I'm looking out here and I see people in pews and I know exactly where everybody is physically. So you're in church, right? Are you here? Or do you just appear to be here? Okay. I know where you are physically, but I have no idea where you are spiritually. And just because your body is physically here in church, that does not mean that spiritually you are where you should be. I personally think that this is the place you should be physically, but I don't know where you are spiritually. Why am I bringing that up? You'll see here in a moment as we get into the message, but you know where you are spiritually. And God knows where you are spiritually. So this morning we will take a look at some things physical pertaining to fathers, and more importantly, spiritual pertaining to God the Father. So I want you to get thinking like that. The spiritual is always more important than the physical. Here at church, we open up a spiritual book. And if you don't deal with your spiritual needs, you're missing out on dealing with that which is most important. So let's dive in here. John 8, and you will see the Lord Jesus Christ often would use physical examples to teach spiritual truth. So don't miss out on the spiritual truth here. And I'll try to relate some physical examples. Actually, the Lord will. But let's start in verse 31. John 8, 31. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, "If ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." They answered him, "We be Abraham's seed, and were never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, ye shall be made free?" Jesus answered them, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin. And the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the Son abideth forever. If the Son, therefore, shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. I know that ye are Abraham's seed, but ye seek to kill me, because my word hath no place in you. I speak that which I have seen with my father, and ye do that which ye have seen with your father." They answered and said unto him, "Abraham is our father." Jesus saith unto them, "If ye were Abraham's children, ye would do the works of Abraham. But now ye seek to kill me, a man that hath told you the truth, which I have heard of God. This did not Abraham. Ye do the deeds of your father." Then said they to him, "We be not born of fornication. We have one Father, even God." Jesus said unto them, "If God were your Father, ye would love me, for I proceeded forth and came from God. Neither came I of myself, but he sent me. Why do ye not understand my speech? Even because ye cannot hear my word. Ye are of your father the devil, and the lusts of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. And because I tell you the truth, ye believe me not." And that is just a small section in this long chapter that has got all kinds of good nuggets in it. And we're just going to focus on those. I think it's about 15 verses here this morning. So let's pray and ask the Lord to help us. Let's, if you would pray with me as I pray, we'll pray for this Linville family. If you'll kind of remember to keep them in mind now, and then also as you're reminded through the week to pray for them as well, okay? Let's pray together. Thank you, Lord, for these words that we are able to read. We know that we need your help and have an understanding of them, and we also know we really need your help to apply them. And I pray that this message would not be mine, but yours, and that the things that are brought out this morning would be exactly the direction, this message would be the direction that you want it to go. I pray that all of us here today would be faithful hearers of your word and also faithful doers of your word. May spiritual work be accomplished by the power of your Holy Spirit this morning. We're just leaning on you to do that. We also want to pray for this Linville family. you know exactly what they're going through right now, and we here today cannot even imagine having to deal with this. I pray for you to give great comfort and strength to that family as they deal with this. May you be glorified in the midst of this really tragic and very difficult situation, as we know that you certainly can do that. Help those that are grieving and just trying to get some answers right now in that situation. And we just want to, again, commit this time to you this morning. We pray this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Okay, I want to just give a little mini message on verses 31 and 32. I will not be present here this year on July the 4th, a couple weeks away. And I want to give my July 4th message to you first, and it's short. 31, look what it says. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, "If you continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed." And here's the verse, the little freedom verse. "And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." So I'll just say this morning, if you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, you have real freedom. Now, I think everybody here is an American citizen, so thankfully, you have the physical freedom granted to Americans. Amen to that, right? But not all Americans have spiritual freedom. You get spiritual freedom by knowing the Lord Jesus Christ. Notice the importance he places there in verse 31 on his word and verse 32 on the truth. And you find the truth in the Bible. And in the day we live in, the only way that you can maintain sanity, I mean this, I know this personally, the only way to maintain sanity in this crazy world we live in is to know the truth. Y'all remember that TV show many years ago as a kid, To Tell the Truth? You remember that? And they would have three people, I think they had three, that would all claim to be the same person. And they would ask them questions throughout the TV show, and they would all answer, and you would try to figure out who's lying and who's the real whatever the guy's name was, or the woman, whatever her name was. Anybody remember that? Am I right on that, To Tell the Truth? Is that the name of the TV show? So I remember watching this with my parents, and that guy in the middle, he's the real, and say the name. And then mom or dad or my sister, no, it's the guy on the end, on the far right. And we would debate over who was telling the truth, and here's what they would say at the end. Would the real John Doe please stand up? And the real guy would stand up because there's only one real guy. And the truth was revealed at the end. And then if you started to trace things back, you could see where the other two fellas were lying. But they were trying to get you to think that they were the real person. So aren't you glad that the Lord does not keep you in the dark concerning what's the truth and what's not the truth? He gave you a Bible. The Bible is the all-time bestseller when it comes to books. That's a good thing. Did you know that, now this is just Rockwell, I don't know, I could be wrong, but my guess, Rockwell's guess, is that it's probably also the most neglected book on a lot of people's bookshelves. What do you think? A lot of people think, oh, I got the book, it's on my shelf, or it's in my room, I'm okay. Folks, this book does not do any work on you unless you open it up and read it. So on that note, look at verse 31. The Lord says, in the middle of the verse, I'll pick it up, "If ye continue in my word, then are ye my," what's that next word? "Disciples indeed." And if you take a look there, you can be saved. You can know Jesus Christ as your Savior and not be his disciple. Do you see that? A disciple of Jesus Christ is somebody who does what? Help me out. Continues in his word. It took the Bible, it took God's word to save you. It also takes continuing in God's word to be a disciple. Now, that word disciple, another word that you're probably familiar with, you may or may not like this word. Discipline. Discipline. Disciple. A disciple will have the self-discipline to open up God's word and read it and study it. And that is what a true disciple does. They take this, they read it, they study it, they ask God for understanding, and then they live it. That's a real disciple. So, a little bit of side note there by introduction. Now, let's dig into this passage here where the Lord Jesus Christ is dealing with these people who, I love these conversations because it is a great study in how to deal with people who are out of their mind. You ever deal with people that are crazy? Three of you? Come on. We live in a crazy world. You probably have conversations at least once a week or so with people that are just out of their mind. Now, I'm trying to be kind here. What I mean is people who don't really understand the truth about whatever subject you're dealing with. And I'm not talking about who your favorite sports team is. I'm not talking about your favorite political figure. I'm not talking about any of that stuff. And Don hit some of that Sunday school as far as how that's not important. What we're talking about here is where to find the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. It's only right here. Now, I know we have some readers in here, and I love reading books, but there's only one book that I've ever read, only one book you will ever read, that every single word is the truth. Good Christian books, you can't say that about them, because they will have man's opinion inserted throughout. This book is always going to tell you the truth. So a great study in how to deal with people who just don't have sound minds. I'll just be nice like that. We'll just say they don't have a sound mind. Study the Lord Jesus Christ and his dealings with these Pharisees. So look at 33. And you'll see some things about fathers here this morning, which is where I want to go. They answered him, "We be Abraham's seed, and we're never in bondage to any man." So, first point this morning, let's talk about Father Abraham. Father Abraham, and the title of the message, if you're taking notes, is Two Spiritual Fathers. And I'll get to those two spiritual fathers in a moment. But first, I want to talk about Father Abraham, because look what they say. They say in verse 33, "We be Abraham's seed." Now, if you don't know much about Abraham, if you want to know your Bible, you need to know a few things about Abraham. So I'm not going to go through the life of Abraham, but why? I do want to ask you this. Why would these Pharisees make such a big deal about "we be Abraham's seed"? Why is that a big deal? Let me show you. Go to one place in the Old Testament. We can look at a bunch. Go to Genesis 12. Probably a familiar passage to you, but this will tell you why they were so proud. And yes, they were proud. They were proud to call themselves children of Abraham. Here's why. God made promises to Abraham that he didn't make to anybody else. You know that? Now, by the way, here in chapter 12, his name has not been changed yet, so it's Abram, but it's the same fella. Later on, his name gets changed to Abraham. Verse 1, "Now the Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country, and from thy kindred, and from thy father's house, unto a land that I will show thee. And I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee, and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing." Now watch this one. "And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee, and in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed." So you understand, these Pharisees, who are Jews, that we read about in John 8, they were truly descendants of Abraham. And if you notice there in the verses we read, God promised a land to Abraham. God promised to make his name great. God promised to make him a blessing. And he also said all families of the earth would be blessed through Abraham. And I missed the part there in verse 3. Anybody who blesses Abraham and his seed gets blessed. Anybody who curses Abraham and his seed gets cursed. Wouldn't you be proud to be a descendant of Abraham if you were a descendant of Abraham? Would you? You would be. And let me give you a personal example here. This week on Thursday, I'll be going up to Massachusetts to work for about 10 or 11 days at a camp that is 98% Jewish kids. And a lot of the staff there are Jews. And any time, just about any time, you get into a spiritual conversation with a Jew, they are very proud that they are Jews. And most of them can say a word or two about, here's who they know. They know who Abraham is. Most of them know who Jacob is, because his name was changed to Israel, right? And a lot of them can tell you who Moses is. And then some of the others that hit or miss on some of the prophets, Isaiah, they can probably tell you who he is. And they can tell you some things about them, and they say, yeah, that's my lineage, and they're very proud of that because they know enough of their Old Testament. You only got to know a few verses. They know that God has a special blessing for those people physically. And is that true? That is true. But here's the thing. They miss out on something much more important than their physical heritage. And much more important than yours or my physical heritage is where we are spiritually. And here's the sad thing about a Jew living today. A Jew living today can be a descendant of Abraham. Now, listen to me carefully on this. They can be a true descendant of Abraham and die and go to hell. Jews do not like to hear that. Several years ago, this goes probably 10 or more years ago, one of our 15-year-old boys at the camp gets in a conversation with me, and he says to me the following, Micah, are you telling me that Jews can go to hell? I said to him, Aaron, the Bible says that anybody who rejects the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Savior goes to hell. So I didn't say Jews go to hell. I said anybody who rejects Jesus Christ as Savior goes to hell. I thought I might lose my job after that because I wasn't sure how that was going to go over. And I will tell you, this is going to be the 16th summer I've been up there, at least for a short stretch. And God has protected me while I've been up there because I've had a conversation with these kids and adults. And Sherry was there for five summers with me. And she can tell you that God wants those kids and those adults there to know the truth. And here's why. God's desire is that everybody really have true spiritual freedom. And the only way you get true spiritual freedom is by trusting the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior. That's it. And I'll say a few things about that in a minute, but you're hearing John. Go back to Luke 4. Actually, I'll just do it right now. Go back to Luke 4. Let me just tell you something about the Lord Jesus Christ being in the business of setting people free. And just because you have a heritage physically that is worth noting, it doesn't mean anything spiritually. In fact, it means nothing spiritually. Look at Luke 4:18. This is what the Lord is in the business of doing, and He's been doing this, for the last 2,000 years. Look at verse 18. This is the Lord Jesus Christ talking. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because He hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind. Watch this one. To set at liberty them that are bruised. Okay, anybody out there poor? We're just talking about inflation before church. Come on, you're poorer than you were last year. Probably. Anybody here brokenhearted? Maybe not today, but have you been? Anybody here had blindness when it comes to you should have known some things and you didn't know some things and the Lord had to open your eyes? Anybody here at one time, were you in bondage rather than being set free? Well, if there's a time where you were not saved, there was a time. All that time you didn't know Jesus Christ, you were in bondage. And the Lord set you free from sin. Amen to that. Do you realize if you're saved, you no longer have to be a slave to sin? Did you know that? God set you free from that. Okay, go back here to John 8. Now, back to this thing about freedom and about Abraham and these Jews, these Pharisees saying, oh, we're actually Abraham's seed. We're okay, is basically what they're saying. Well, let's talk a little bit about your physical heritage. They thought a lot about their physical heritage. Abraham was their father. So I got to looking a little bit about my own physical heritage. Lord willing, I'll see my mom and dad this afternoon. And my last name is Rockwell. What a great name that is. You ever hear of Norman Rockwell? Norman Rockwell was a famous painter. Saturday Evening Post. We've got some folks that are old enough to remember some of those covers of the Saturday Evening Post. Guess who did those? Norman Rockwell, famous painter. So I must be related somewhere along the way, right? My grandfather actually would say, this is my dad's father, he would say, somewhere along the line, we've got to be related. And it's what's very interesting is if you look at the kids, not just the kids, the adults in the Saturday Evening Post, he painted a lot of redheads. And when I was a little boy, I had red hair. And my sister still has red hair. And my dad still has a little bit of red hair, probably not so much as he used to. And that runs in my family. And if you look at the characteristics of the people that he painted, they fit my family. So we must be related, right? I don't know. But it's kind of fun to think about. So there's another famous Rockwell. There's a fella named Lou Rockwell, who's an author and political consultant. You maybe have not heard of him, but he's kind of out there if you search political writings. Some people really like him, and some people don't really like him, but that's kind of how it goes when you're a writer. And then, this is probably the favorite of the three I'm mentioning here. Dick Rockwell was a Hall of Fame college baseball coach, still living, retired about, oh, probably 10 or 15 years ago, coached at a little college up north, Lemoyne College, I think it's in Maine, and a well-known coach. I'll give you one more, actually. This is one I did not know much about. Sam Rockwell. Anybody know who Sam Rockwell is? Famous actor. Okay, yeah. And been in a few things. I had no idea. Actually has won some awards for acting over the years. So I'm in pretty good company. I'm a Rockwell. Must be doing all right. Folks, it does not matter how many famous people you may have as relatives. God deals with people individually. So it doesn't matter what kind of heritage you have. And some people have last names, and you hear their last name, and automatically you associate it with something bad, right? I won't say the name, but there's a name I could say, a last name, that probably some of you would, it would get you excited if I said it, and maybe, I don't know, maybe others of you would be like, if I said it. It rhymes with Crump. I won't say it. But isn't that a name? That name, you just say the name. And some people go ballistic, and some people, they get really excited. And I bring that up because names are important, and physical heritage is important. But it is not as important as your spiritual heritage. It's not even close. So I don't care. I'm not trying to be mean, but I don't care, and you shouldn't care about my physical heritage so much. You should be most concerned with where you are spiritually, your spiritual heritage. Now look at these combatant Pharisees, and look what they say here. Now, you know that when you deal with people that are not thinking right, they say some crazy things, right? Watch what these Pharisees say here. Look at, back here in John 8, if you're not there, look at what they say here, down here in verse, go down there to verse, looking for it here. Go to 39. They answered and said unto him, Abraham is our father. Jesus saith unto them, if ye were Abraham's children, ye would do the works of Abraham. But now, what do they seek to do? They sought to kill him. He said, you seek to kill me, a man that had told you the truth, which I have heard of God. This did not Abraham. Now, what's interesting, I take verse 40 there, and I see people in our world today that get so mad when the truth is presented to them that they actually sometimes want to hurt people. So what you see right there is not really unusual. Okay, and then back up here, back up to verse 33. Look at this one. 33, they answered him, here again, we be Abraham's seed, and were never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, ye shall be made free? Now, you want to note that one. They said, we're Abraham's seed, and they were never in bondage to any man. So, two things here. The verse we read before, they want to kill Jesus Christ because of things that he said. And here, they say something that is just so outrageous. Do you realize what 33 says? They said they've never been in bondage. Now, what do you know about the Jews over the years? Come on, what do you know? What's the first thing that comes to mind about bondage and Jews? What's the first thing that comes to mind? Help me out. In Egypt, where were they? What were they? They were in bondage. They were slaves. What they were never in bondage? You see how people, when they're not thinking right, say the most outrageous things and have some of the most outrageous acts that they want to commit. Okay, how about the Jews whenever... If you've been here on Wednesday nights, we've been talking about when Nebuchadnezzar came through and destroyed Jerusalem. What did he do with a bunch of the Jews that he left alive? He captured them and took them back to Babylon, and they were underneath him as slaves, essentially. That's two. How about this one right here? This is the one that really is crazy. At the time that these Pharisees say the words, 33, never in bondage to any man, at the very time they said this, they were living in the land God promised them. But who was in charge of that land? The Romans. And they were actually under Roman tribute. They had to pay taxes. Yeah, they've been around a long time, those taxes you pay. They had to pay taxes to the Roman government. Oh, we were never in bondage? Do you see how outrageous claims are made by people that don't think straight? Now, that's nothing new to you, is it? Outrageous claims are often made today by people who don't think straight. So the Lord is dealing with people just like me and you do today. But look how he handles them. Look there at 34. Look what he says here. Jesus answered them, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin." And then he says, "The servant abideth not in the house forever, but the son abideth forever." So notice how he goes from them saying they're never in bondage. What is he trying to tell them in 34? He says, oh, you actually are in bondage. And what are they in bondage to? They're in bondage to sin. So let me ask you this question this morning. You don't need to answer out loud, but are you in bondage this morning to sin? I don't know what sin might have hold of you, but you could be here in church this morning and be in bondage to sin. And there is only one solution to being in bondage to sin. It's to call on Jesus Christ first to save you. And I know that saved people sometimes can go back to those things that they used to be free from. They'll go back to them. You know people like that? You know people that got saved? No alcohol anymore. No drugs anymore. No debauchery with their living anymore. And then down the road, what do they end up doing? They go back to that stuff and they get tangled up again. Go to Galatians 5. Let me show you this real quick. Galatians chapter 5 in your Bible. And Paul actually warned against this. Galatians chapter 5. Verse 1. Look what he says here. "Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free." And then look what he says here. "And be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage." Do you mean to tell me that people who are saved can actually be in bondage to sin? What do you think? Folks, living for Jesus Christ is a daily death to self. Did you hear that? That's really good to get that. If you're going to live for Jesus Christ, you're going to have to die to yourself every day. Paul even said that. He says, "I die daily." He understood, I could easily go back to those things that I was free from if I'm not careful. It is a death to self. And if you ever notice, all of you, if you're honest, you know this. This flesh is never, ever, ever satisfied. You might satisfy it temporarily, but it will come back and say, "I want more," eventually. You ever notice that? I used this here a few weeks ago, but with food. Anybody like to eat in here? Three of you? Okay, again. Maybe more than that. If you like to eat, you go a long time without eating. Man, it's so good to get that food. Oh, so. And aren't you glad that God made things tasty? Or at least most things. Broccoli, he didn't, but most things are tasty, right? God made food something that is to be enjoyed. Amen? Can I get an amen to that one at least this morning? Food is enjoyable, and you eat it, and it satisfies something that you need. You have a desire for food because you need it to live, don't you? So you eat a big meal. It's lunchtime, we'll say. Maybe you didn't eat breakfast, and maybe you had a small dinner the night before. You eat a big, big lunch, and oh, it feels so good. Then you take a nap, right? Because that's what you do after you eat a big meal, right? 6 o'clock, what happens again? That flesh is saying, "Feed me, feed me. I need food. Feed me now." And you have to make a decision as to what, do I really need food or not? And I think us Americans, I'm with you here, us Americans, we make the claim that we need food and we really don't need food. We really don't. If you had to, and we all may be in this boat here soon, if we had to live on less food than what we live on right now, you could do it. If you had to cut out half your calories because that's all you could afford, you could do it. And you could still live. And some of us might be better off if we did that, right? But I say that because your flesh is always calling out for more. And if you follow your flesh, you will be in bondage to something. Understand that Jesus Christ wants you not to be in bondage to anything sinful at all. He sets you free from that, okay? He's the only way to freedom. So, a little bit about Abraham. I wanted to say a few more things about Abraham. I'll just tell you this in closing here about Abraham. Abraham was a great man. But do you know what happened to Abraham? Abraham's no longer alive. And the reason why is because Abraham was a descendant of Adam. In 1 Corinthians 15, it says, in Adam, all die. So your physical heritage, it doesn't matter how great or how not great your physical heritage is. Everybody dies because the wages of sin is death. You can't get around that. So, there's your bad news about your physical heritage. It's not a good thing, even though you might think historically it's a good thing. So, let's move on here and let's talk about these two spiritual fathers. There was a point number one. Let's talk about these two spiritual fathers. Look at 38, verse 38. It says, the Lord talking here, I speak that which I have seen with my, and what's that next letter? Is it a capital or a lowercase? You need to see this. This is really important that you look at the words of your Bible. Father with a capital F. That's the Lord talking there. But look what he says here, the second part of the verse. And ye do that which ye have seen with your lowercase F. You see the difference? The Lord is saying there's God the Father. And out of the two spiritual fathers, he's the one you want to have. But he also makes mention to your father with a lowercase F. You know who he was talking about? He's talking about Abraham. So everybody here has a physical father, right? Everybody here, you can write, if I said write the name of your father down, doesn't matter whether you like him or not, doesn't matter whether he's alive or not, doesn't matter if you've seen him in the last 20 years or not, you have a physical father. You either have or had a physical father. So that physical father of yours didn't do anything for you spiritually. I'm going to say it again. The physical father that you have can't do and didn't do anything for you spiritually. Now, I'm one to say that. Oh, wait, you might be thinking, if you know my father's a pastor. Well, I must be okay because I grew up in a Christian home. Right? Hello, right? You paying attention? Somebody tell me no. I must be okay. I know that there's a lot of kids that if you ask them, hey, how long have you known Jesus Christ the Savior? Here's what they will say. Well, I grew up in a Christian home. So did I. I thank the Lord that I was 6 years old. Because I was in a Christian home, I ended up going to a day camp in the summer, one summer, 1979. And I heard what Jesus Christ did for me. And at that time, Jesus Christ became my Savior because I wanted Him to. It had nothing to do with my dad being a preacher and a pretty good one and being a spiritual giant in my eyes. It didn't matter any of that. What mattered is there's a day that I was born a second time. I won't take you to the passage, but John 3:3, Jesus said, except a man be born again, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. Everybody here had a physical birth. Here's my question for you this morning. Have you had a spiritual birth? Let me show you what that means. John 1. You're in John. Most of you are being John here this morning. John 1. Let's talk about God the Father. And He is the greatest spiritual father. There is none greater. John 1. Go down to verse 12. Speaking of what Jesus Christ did. Actually, look at verse 11. You'll see this is about the Lord Jesus Christ. He came into His own, and His own received Him not. Watch verse 12. But as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them that, what's the key word? Believe on His name. Have you believed on His name? I'm talking about the name above all names, the name of Jesus Christ. Have you believed on Jesus Christ? If you have, according to verse 12, not according to me, according to verse 12, you are a son of God. Amen! Look at verse 13, which were born not of blood. That would be a physical birth. Nor of the will of the flesh, physical. Nor of the will of man, all three physical. But of God. Have you been born of God? Have you been born again? Have you been born of the Holy Spirit? If you have, you have the greatest Father any kid could ever desire. God the Father. Amen. Let me tell you a few things here about God the Father. And this will go along with those of you here who are fathers. You should, as a father, emulate the greatest Father, God the Father, right? So this is for fathers. This is also for anybody who's saved. A good father loves and cares for his children. 1 Peter 5:7. A good father loves and cares for his children. God taking good care of you, folks? If you know God as your Father, you've been saved, He's taking good care of you, because if all He did was save you, that was the greatest thing that you needed. And you got it. You got salvation. Number two, a good father protects his children. Matthew 18:6. Has the Lord protected you? Oh, man. I could tell you some close calls I've had in the car. Anybody had close calls in the car? There's a couple situations where I have no idea to this day how I didn't hit somebody. Or somebody didn't hit me. God is the great protector. And I think you sitting in the pew this morning and being able to come to church is proof of that. Amen? Number three. Oh, on protection here. Hold on a second. Let me stop on this one. On protection. Can you ever lose your salvation? God has preserved you. He's protected you so that you can never be unsaved. Amen? Eternal life is something He's not going to take away, or else it wouldn't be eternal life. It'd be temporary life. Number three, a good father provides for his children. Philippians 4:19. What's God provided for you this week? If all He gave you this week was something to eat and something to wear, having food and raiment, let us therewith be content. If that's all you got, that's all you need. You got clothes to wear. You got food in your belly. That's all you need. Everything else, as they say in Louisiana, they have a word for this. They say it's lanyap. And lanyap is just a little extra. Everything else is lanyap. It's icing on the cake, you could say. If you've got a car, if you've got a lot of food at home, if you've got people around you that love you and care for you and look out for you, that's all bonus, isn't it? God gave you food and raiment. That's all you need. God's been good to you. A good father guides and teaches his children. John 14:26. The Lord is the greatest teacher. Amen to that. Number five, a good father helps his children. Psalm 46:1. The Lord helps you with anything lately? If He hasn't, maybe you hadn't asked Him to. He'll help you if you ask for help. Number six, a good father encourages his children. No better way to get encouraged if you're discouraged than get into the Word of God and hear from the Lord. A good father, now we might not like this one, but we need this one. A good father disciplines his children. That's Hebrews 12, verses 5 through 11. You know what you need every once in a while? You need some correction from the Father. And I never enjoyed it whenever my dad corrected me physically. And there's been some times where the Lord has corrected me. Oh yeah, and it's not felt good, but I needed it. Because you know what? God's looking out for what's best for you, amen? He doesn't want you to fall into some kind of nonsense and get tangled up with something that's going to bring you down the wrong road. A good father feeds his children. Matthew 4:4, man shall not live by bread alone, by every word of God. A good father, I really like this one. A good father has a plan for his children. Did you know the plan that God has for you is unlike the plan He's had for anybody who's ever lived? Doesn't that make you special? It should. God gave you abilities that He didn't give to anybody else, and He gave you something to do that He didn't give anybody else to do. That's Romans 8:28-29. Talk about the plan of God. Last thing here, a good father will never do anything to purposely hurt his children. I'm so glad for that. Amen? See, physical fathers sometimes give their kids things that are dangerous that they don't even know that is dangerous. But the Lord would never do something like that. He'll never give you anything to purposely hurt you. Now, the Lord will do give you things that will help you grow into maturity. And here's the thing. God operates as the greatest father. And I know that I consider my dad a great father. But I can point to you over the years where my dad made some pretty big mistakes. And there's no sense in me hashing out with him because it's his issues. And the things that did affect me, we've already taken care of that over the years. But, folks, you cannot find anything wrong with God the Father. There's no flaws. There's no mistakes to be made. Is God your Father this morning? Do you know the Lord Jesus Christ? He's the Son, by the way, isn't He? Do you know the Son? If you know the Son, you know the Father. And the Lord Jesus Christ had a birth unlike any other. It was miraculous. If you know Jesus Christ as your Savior, you had a miraculous birth as well. Can you point to that in your life? The day where you were born again and you experienced a miraculous birth? Folks, if that's the case with you this morning, praise God for that. If it's not the case with you, if you don't know God as your spiritual Father, capital F, man, you're missing out. You are missing out on the good life because the Lord knows what we need and He'll put you on the path that leads to, like the Lord says Himself, leads to life. All right, let's go on here. Go back to John 8 if you're not there. And let's go and take a look here at the last part here. So we've got Father Abraham, which couldn't save anybody, even though Abraham was a great man. Being a descendant of Abraham couldn't save anybody, and physical fathers can't save their children as far as spiritual things go. Then we looked at God the Father, who is the greatest father, and He's the greatest when it comes to any type of father. And the last thing here is in verses 44 and 45. And before we read that, look at 43. I want to show you something here about these Pharisees. 43, it says, "Why do you not understand my speech? Even because ye cannot hear my word." Interesting that the Lord would say that. If you're sitting here this morning, I'm just going to hit this before we go on here. If you're sitting here this morning and you have a real hard time understanding the Bible, you may not know God as your Father. You may not be saved is what I'm saying. Because if you know the Lord, you know what He will give you? He will give you understanding of the Bible. Okay, so something to think about there. Last thing here. Now, we may not want to hit this, but it needs to be hit because it is in the Bible. Look at verse 44. Two spiritual fathers. There's God the Father. Well, who's the other one? Well, let's look at 44 and 45. Ye are of your father the devil. And I stop right there just to remind all of us, the Lord was not out to win friends and influence people, was He? You know what the Lord Jesus Christ was most interested in? The truth. You know what you can't find? I don't care what media channel you like the best. You know what you have a hard time finding today? The truth. So put all those, just throw all those away and continually come back to the Bible to get the real truth, the whole truth. So He says there, 44, let's pick it up. "Ye are of your father the devil, and the lusts of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. And because I tell you the truth, you believe me not." The last father I want to hit here in this last point is the father of lies. Do you see who it is there in verse 44? Who is it, folks? Still with me? It's the devil. And I want to point out a few things about the devil. The first thing it says there is the devil is into lust. You see that? The lust of your father you will do. All that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of the life is not of the Father. It is of the world. So he's into lust, things that are against God. Notice the next thing. He was a, what's that next word? He was a murderer from the beginning. Now you go back to Genesis. Did the devil kill anybody in the book of Genesis? Somebody was killed in Genesis chapter 4. You know who it was? It was Abel. And you know who killed Abel? It was Cain. Now, how's this for fatherhood? Adam has a son And the first son that's ever born to a man here on earth, a man and a woman, is Cain. And everybody rejoices when babies are born. Amen? And that boy grows up, and what does he become? He becomes a murderer. And he killed his brother. So much for Adam being great, or anybody who's the descendant of Adam being great. The first kid ever born was a murderer. So there you go with your physical heritage again. It's out the window. So it says here, verse 44, he was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth. So we've got lust, we've got murder, and then it says there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. So we've got lust, we've got murder, we've got lies here. And, oh, another thing here is no interest in the truth and no truth in him. Folks, this is the spiritual father that everybody has when they are first born physically into this world. Did you know that? Everybody who's born into this world physically has a spiritual father, and it's who? You say, that's not very nice. It's true. It's the devil. Your spiritual father, when you are born into this world physically, is the devil. You say, but I didn't do any of those things before I got saved. I didn't kill anybody. I didn't lie. Yeah, you did. I didn't lust. Folks, the reason why you need to be born again is because anybody who's born into this world has the wrong spiritual father. Jesus Christ died so that you can have the right spiritual father. And all it takes is understanding that because you were born in Adam, and your father, whoever he is, was born in Adam, a descendant of Adam, you are a sinner. And nobody likes talking about this, but can we just talk about this for a minute? Everybody in here, and I'm looking, you looking at me, and I'm, you say about me, we're sinners. This body is a body of sin. It frustrates me that I'm still in this body of sin. If you ever get frustrated the fact that you're in this physical body, that's good evidence that you're saved. Because I just get so frustrated, like, this body just keeps wanting this and wanting that. And the eyes of man are never satisfied, are they? You're always wanting more. And if you're saved, you groan from within, as Paul said, because you want something better than this body that you're in. Anybody with me on that? You tired of this old body? Folks, if you're saved, you will drop this body one day and get a perfect body like the body of Jesus Christ. But you got to understand, this body is a sinful body, and the reason why people sin is because that's all they know if they don't know Jesus Christ. And if you know Jesus Christ, now you have the freedom from sin. And there's nothing greater than that. Amen? Wouldn't it be crazy if we went down to the county jail this afternoon, pick an inmate, have a conversation, and say, hey man, what's it like to be in bondage? And the fellow looks at you and he says, what are you talking about? I'm free. Sorry to disappoint you, man, but you're in jail. I'm going to walk out the doors here in a minute. You're staying here. And the guy just continues, but I'm free. I've got freedom. I'm okay. Time out, man. See that guard over there? He's going to make sure you don't leave this jail. You see that same guard over there? He's going to make sure that I do leave this jail. And the guy keeps saying, but I'm free. I got freedom. I'm freedom. Now, would you say that guy's a little crazy? That is a lot of people living in our world today. They say, I'm free because I'm American. And they're in bondage to sin. Folks, let's be honest here. If you don't know Jesus Christ, you are a slave to sin. Can I show you this real quick? We got time. Romans 6. And this actually, you can make an application here to somebody who's saved because you have to make a decision every day not to be a slave to sin. Look at Romans 6. But Jesus Christ made it possible for you to be free from it. Romans 6:16. We'll just wrap up here this morning. Romans 6:16. Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves service to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey. Whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness. Now, that is actually written to somebody who's saved. Do you know that? That verse right there, though, you would have to eliminate the last part of it for somebody who's not saved. Anybody who's not saved is a servant to sin. And they actually can't be obedient under righteousness. But if you are saved, folks, you do not have to be tangled up in sin. You don't have to be. Now, I could stand up here and I could name all these different things you get tangled up in. I don't need to because you know about it right now. The Lord will remind you if you don't know. What is it that's got you tangled up and wrapped up that's keeping you from living for the Lord if you're saved? What is it? I don't know what it is. I can put one word on it. It's sin. You know what it is. And it's about time in this day we live in that Christian people stop being entangled and slaves to sinful things. Stop it. And the way to do it is to ask the Lord to give you freedom from that, and He'll do it. I think a lot of times we think, I'll beat this myself. I'll just be more disciplined. I'll fix this my way, and you're always going to fail. Because only the Lord can give you freedom from that. Well, we looked at Abraham. And I say the Jews always point to Abraham because he was their physical father. And I don't know who your physical father is. Some of you I do, some of you I don't. But I know that your physical father is the reason why you're in this world. And you were born in this world a sinner. Not trying to talk bad about him. Just telling you the truth. Now, you don't have to remain that way. You can trust Jesus Christ as your Savior, be born again, and be free from sin. Or you can remain enslaved to John 8:44, the father of lies. How many know somebody that is not saved and they have just grabbed hold to nothing but lies as far as spiritual things go? You know anybody like that? So I'll just close and tell you the camp I'm going to go to. I'm going to talk to Jewish boys and probably some Jewish adults and then some non-Jewish ones as well that will cling to something that makes them okay with God. And if it's not anything scriptural, they're not okay with the Lord. I don't know what it is that you're clinging to this morning to be right with God or okay with the Lord, but if it's anybody or anything outside of Jesus Christ, you're not okay. I don't know how much you study the cults, but the Mormons do not believe that Jesus Christ is God. They are liars. You study the Mormons, you'll find out there's some murders in there too, and they are religious killers to some degree. I don't know if you ever study Scientology. They get people enslaved to their doctrines so much so that they make them alienate their families so that they can be continually be brainwashed by their false doctrine. Folks, anything anybody trusts outside of Jesus Christ to be free from sin, anything outside of Jesus Christ is not going to work. It's not. It's going to take them to hell. So I want you to think here this morning. I know it's Father's Day and we're so many of us can hear today be so thankful for the fathers that God has given us. Praise God. But let's just nail this thing down here. Do you have the right spiritual father this morning? Do you know God as your father? And he would call you his child. If that's the case this morning, praise God. If it's not the case this morning, let's make it right today. And for those of you who do know the Lord, how about you ask Him this morning to help you with whatever it is got you tangled up, whatever has got you enslaved. And what that does is it takes you away from getting your attention where it should be on the Lord. So let's bow our heads this morning. And I just ask you to do business with the Lord. Don't do business with me because I can't help you. I can pray for you, and I can help you in that area, but you got to be honest with God here this morning. So I encourage you to do that. And as we have a time of invitation here in a minute, just do business with the Lord. And the most important business that can happen today would be spiritual business. So if you're here this morning, you don't know Jesus Christ as Savior, let's make that right today. You could be born again, experience the miraculous birth by the Holy Spirit this morning. If you do know the Lord, then maybe you need to get some things right with Him so you can be an obedient child. The Lord wants you to walk with Him. He wants you to lead you down the right path. And I challenge you to make some things right with the Lord so that you can walk with Him this week. Let's pray together. Thank you, Lord, for your words. Thank you that how they are so easy to just go through and see what's wrong with us. And I pray that all of us here this morning would deal truthfully with you and what is wrong with us.
May we lay aside the sins and ask you for help in dealing with sins that are bringing us down. And I just pray that you might receive the glory and the honor here this morning in our response to the preaching of your word. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.